You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You cook. You know what I'm craving. A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With,
What, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am...
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you know, I was thinking, I had just written a blog the other day, and it was about, you know, it was talking about the human condition 101 and about the things that we have to deal with by being a human. And, you know, a lot of times we have to deal with issues and problems and stuff that come up because of our own limitations that we create for ourselves. And a lot of times those limitations, where are they housed? They're housed in your mind. And it's not because somebody else puts limitations on you. It's not because someone else tells you what you have to do. It's because you're telling yourself what to do because your mind has created limitations for yourself. And it shows. It shows when you're in communication with others. It shows when you're dealing with communication. And it shows by the way you carry yourself, by the way you talk about things, by the way you believe in yourself. So on tonight's show, I'm going to give you some tidbits of information that's going to make your life a lot easier, that you're going to come off looking very intelligent, and that you're going to start realizing the true power you have within. So joining me tonight, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Great Sunday evening we're having here.
Sundays are great.
Sundays are very good, yes.
Hey, Keenan, how you doing?
I'm doing good this Sunday evening. I would like Sunday a lot better if it was football season.
OTAs and mini camps are underway, okay?
They're so underway, but it's still not the same. To me, it's not the same fun day unless it's football season.
But wait 2 months. We're almost there. You can get through it. You can get through it. Just hang on. So,
please hang on, please.
Yes.
Don't hurt yourself. I don't want anything to happen to you.
I'm trying.
You just got here. You can't have something happen to you.
Right.
I mean, what are we going to do?
We don't want to lose him yet.
We'll have to like write him off like they do in the sitcoms. You know what I mean? Or not sitcoms, sorry. You don't like romantic comedies or sitcoms. Like what they do in like the shows, like the 1 hour, like the Melrose Place or whatever.
Yeah,
the
soap operas.
The soap operas. They're not soap. They're dramas.
I think like Game of Thrones because they're writing off characters all the time.
Oh, there you go. Game of Thrones. That's it.
Game of Thrones.
Somebody's always being written off for something, you know?
Yep.
So you know, we should have like one of those like caveman shows where, you know, somebody gets eaten by a wildebeest or something like that and then carried off by a wildebeest.
Like a Survivor, you know, we're out on the island.
But it's real.
But
and it's
real.
A cave.
That's right.
And they're bears.
You know what? You know, I am waiting for them to do a Survivor in a cold weather climate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that.
That would be awesome. Like
you are
South
mean.
Pole.
Oh, you're mean. You want to see people like lose fingers and stuff.
It'd be cool to go down to the
Frostbite.
South Pole and, you know, you'd have to eat penguins, you know, because that's the only thing there
hey,
is.
Hey, I like penguins.
They're
cute. They have like little tuxedos on.
And they little waddle.
Did you
and
see the
cute
migration of the penguins at time? Was it the penguin migration? Remember that one from Antarctica? They show like how the penguins go and then they have their babies and they have to like lay on them and they have to do all this stuff and all this torrential, you know, like weather, and they have to weather out these storms.
Yeah.
They do it all over again. My heart went out to those animals.
I think it would be so cool to take a bow and arrow and just, you know.
Bill! Everybody that's listening tonight knows I don't eat meat. I don't eat pig. I don't eat cow. They know that. You know, chicken,
not even a chicken.
Not even chicken. I mean, you know, I do. I am a pescatarian. I do eat fish, like shrimp, fish, that kind of thing.
Because fish aren't cute. If fish were cute, you wouldn't do it.
I think fish are really cute, but I mean, like, I like fish. Like, I've like snorkeled and scuba dive, and I love, like, even little squid have like the really cool, like, their whole body is like almost like a hologram. Mm-hmm. And the way they move, and I always realized this when I was young. I realized that squid remind me of hummingbirds, because the hummingbirds got that green iridescent body, and the squid's got like a green kind of silvery iridescent body, and it changes and mutates throughout the water. I think it's pretty cool. Okay, I went on a tangent. However, I do feel like, you know, little animals are just so sweet. I mean, I would be more into, like, the, you know, the hunting of human over the hunting of penguin, I think.
So you're a cannibal.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just wanted to scare you, but it didn't scare you at all, and you just looked at me like I was crazy, but that's
because
okay.
I know you, Ashley. I know you.
I couldn't even pull that off.
Yeah.
It was like when I was a kid, you know, I'd call up friends of mine when I was, like, you know, 6 years old on their, you know, their family's phone, you know, their home line, and be like, hey, you know, and I would change my voice as high as it could go.
So you talk up here like this.
Hey, Jen, do you want to go to the pool? And I remember it'd be like, Jen would be like, that was a really good try, Ashley. Yeah, I'll come out to the pool. And I was like, I couldn't even change my voice when I was like 6 and 7. Like, I was granted this voice my whole life. Granted it. And I was thinking, why, God? Why me? But anyway, we'll go past that. That's just a, you know, this is a problem of my human condition.
I was going to say, we can yep. help counsel you through it if you need us, Ashley. We're
we
here
might
for
have
you.
To do this on the air, counseling session. Keenan's like, yes, I'm ready. Stat, let's go.
Actually, he's going, what have I got myself into? Right?
He's like, just look into this, you know, just follow this back and forth, yeah. back yeah. and forth. Yeah, so as the human condition goes, we as humans deal with a lot of things in our life. We as people, you, men, women, we all deal with children. We all deal with stuff in our life. And the thing is that most of the stuff that we deal with started when we were kids, right? When we were young kids on the playground, we're hanging out, having a great time, and guess what? Something happens. You know, somebody punches you, or somebody makes fun of you, or somebody laughs at you. And all of a sudden something changes in your head, right? And you don't really realize it, but your mind is trying to save you from the pain and suffering that you're going to feel. So instead of dealing with it head on, you create these limitations in your mind about, like, okay, they don't like me. I'm going to stay away from those people. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is that you create. So I think one of the first things that we always create in our mind is that everybody knows more than we do.
Ugh.
I mean, I've done it before. I mean, when you're like talking, so there I am. Let's just say I'm having a conversation with Keenan, and let's just say I don't know Keenan very well, because this normally only happens with people you don't know that well, or people that really make you feel really small. But let's just say that I'm having this conversation with Keenan, and I don't know him at all. And I'm talking, and I say, yeah, I really like that guy Carl Johnson, that runner. And he goes, who? And then I start questioning myself.
Okay,
is it really Carl Johnson? Is that his name? Is he a runner? Do I really like him? And all of a sudden, like, all those questions in your head, and he's basically just wondering, what's the name again? I haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
but we
guy?
Question ourselves all the time, and I know all of us have done that. Like, when you're pronouncing a word and somebody goes, huh? And you're like, I meant to say. And they probably weren't even listening to you.
Because I think it's kind of a human condition. We don't want to look stupid in front of others. Or stupid may be too strong a word. We don't want to look like we are, like, incompetent.
Well, no, we don't want to look, and we certainly do not want to sound stupid either.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know,
we want people to take us seriously.
Yeah, we want to be taken seriously, you know, but whenever we speak, depending on the situation, you know, you watch your language, you make sure you don't use any double negatives or anything like that. And, like, you want to use big words, but you don't want to go too big, because you don't want to lose anyone at the same time. You want to be able to pronounce them right, because if you pronounce them wrong, then someone's going to call you out on it. And you're very afraid that someone is going to call you out, and then you just look like a moron.
Right.
So true.
And, you know, and I think, what Keenan was just saying, you know, we put so much thought, you know, we kind of overthink it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the mind is just so powerful. It amazes me just what the mind is capable of.
Well, it's like all these steps ahead of things, but actually it's really kind of behind. And it was interesting. Yeah. I was reading this article the other day, and it was so cool the way that it put it. So it was talking about someone trying to write a book, right? And they're like, okay, when you're trying to write a book, you go, okay, I'm going to write this book, and you're thinking about what to write. And before you start writing it, like, your mind's going to say, you really think you can do this? I mean, are you sure? Do you have what it takes? You know, and then the next part is it's going to be a lot of work. Do you think anybody's going to read it? Do you really think anybody's going to read the book? So all these things are going on. And a lot of times most people stop in that track and go, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to write this book. I'm going to let somebody else write a book. Or they're going to be in the process of writing that book for years. And we all know people that have written a book for like a 15-year period span of time, but it never gets right. published, you know, but they always talk about the screenplay or the book, right?
Right.
And so there you are. And what happens is they were explaining it like a club, like it's like a bouncer at a club, and how a bouncer at a club, it's like your mind. And so you have to think about the club is that you are the club, you own the club, and your mind's the bouncer telling you you can't come in. You know, well, wait, there's all these other better good-looking people here, so you're going to have to wait. And so it makes you wait it out, and a lot of times when you're waiting it out, you just let go of your dream, you let go of things. But instead, you have to realize you're paying the bouncer. You own the bouncer. The bouncer's part of you, right? So why are you staying out of the club? Because the bouncer's telling you to.
You are the club owner.
You own it all. You own the bouncer. You own the club. Why do you have to stay out? Why are you keeping me out of the game? And I think a lot of times people don't realize that. I know that analogy is weird to wrap your brain around, but it's really true because your brain doesn't want to really think about that and go, oh, yeah, she's on to me. Figured me out. So when we return, I'm going to give you some tips on how to be smarter, stronger, faster. Feel like you're in the power play. Feel that you are in the control seat. And actually, you really are, but you're going to start figuring that out as you listen. So stay tuned, because guess what? This is a great show. And Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, yeah, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Can you hear me now? 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 Good.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just joining Perspectives tonight, I've been talking and we've been talking about how to look smarter, how to come from a place of power, how to listen to yourself, how to look like you should, because a lot of times we always think that other people are smarter, wiser, better. We're not good enough. And like we were talking about this earlier, it comes from the process of being a child. As a child, we grow up through this process. We have bad things happen to us. We get upset. We get made fun of. Something happens. Something takes place. And our mind wants to shield us from that, protect us from the feelings of hurt, from pain. And so it applies these thoughts in our head, and these thoughts become limitations, and these limitations play out for the rest of our life. So, for example, if you were out there on the playground, you know, at 5, 6, 7 years old, and let's say that everybody was playing and you didn't get picked for a team, and you were just standing there, or nobody's talking to you, or you got hit, or what have you, the thing is that your mind's going to play, it's going to have these like thoughts in your head that create these limitations, so that later on in life, when you're older, you're going to think, they don't like me. They hate me. I don't want to be in this public group because they're going to make fun of me. They're going to mock me. They're going to hurt me. And instead of them hurting me, I'm out of here. I'm out of here before they can hurt me, or I'm not even going to step foot in this group.
I raise my hand. That's me, actually, because I was that kid who was picked last. You know, I mean,
and it hurts.
And, you know, look, I mean, God granted me many, many gifts. Athletic ability wasn't one of them. And so I was always the last
kid. Can't have everything.
You know, chosen for the soccer team and for basketball and whatnot. And I've learned through the years that, okay, I'm probably not going to fit in with that group, so I'm just not even going to try.
Oh, yeah.
I'm notorious for that.
I was always picked last also for a team. I mean, that's why I probably gravitated into more individual sports like skateboarding, you know, because with football and basketball and, say, ice hockey, baseball, that requires other people in order to play that game. Even soccer requires other people to play that game. So guess what? A skateboard, all I need is my useless wooden toy, and I'll just go outside. And I could be by myself and skate, and it's just me. But I met other people who also skated.
Skate.
Well, yes. And then that's when things got complicated.
Yeah, because then you have to relate to other people.
Yeah, exactly. I have to relate to other people. And the thing is, you know, skaters judge one another by the amount of tricks that they know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So then you went on to your own skate area and and banned them from your skate area.
His own personal skate area. You know, in my case, Ashley, I mean, I gravitated to the outcast crowd. I was in band. you know, when I was in middle
school. Yeah, you played the tuba, right?
Yeah, I played the tuba. And, you know, and of course, you know that, you know, in high school and whatnot, you know, because in football mad Texas, you know, you are uncool if you were in the band, but that's what I gravitated to because they were like me.
There's a lot of, I agree that that's kind of the stigma that people put on it. I mean, you know, when you're in the band and then you end up going to Juilliard, it's kind of a different story. But I do think that people put the stigma on people in band. But I think a lot of times, too, though, it's like you do learn an instrument. You can play. You have musical ability. But, you know, I knew people that were thrown in lockers. And, like, I knew guys that were thrown in lockers constantly and locked in a locker. I mean, you know what lockers, how big a locker is, right? And locked in a locker, and they're, like, banging on the locker to get out. You know how traumatizing that, you know, that can be for a kid? And you're right. When you go through the feeling of, you know, walking down for band practice and, like, people are making fun of you or, oh, look at him, he's playing the tuba, you know, dork and all that stuff. And you're just like, man, and it really does. It hurts our self-esteem when we go through those things. And it, and our brain, literally, our mind tries to protect us from it, you know? And so now we have these records we don't even hear because it used to be like, stay away from them. Stay away from them. They're going to hurt you. Now you don't hear it. It's white noise. But it's just your actions. So your actions speak louder than words. So when you're invited to a party, you know what? I don't think I can make it. I have other things to do. Or when there's like a group of people that want to go out, you know, I got to stay home. I have some work to do. And so your actions speak out because that's what's really your mind telling you to do. Because something's going to happen. It's telling you you're going to get hurt. And so we need to stay away from this pain, so stay home.
Yeah, or in, a good example from my case, Kenan won't be able to relate to this at all, but, you know, I'm not even going to bother trying to ask the head cheerleader out for a date. I already know she's going to say no.
Oh, I don't.
And so, no, you know, the way girls flock around you, you can't even talk about it. But I mean, okay, you know, so it took me well into my adult years before I got enough courage to start asking, you know, women out for dates because, you know, I just knew that I might as well not even bother because, she's going
to
say no.
With the head cheerleader thing, the thing you have to do actually is you actually ask out the girl that's trying out for cheerleader, and then you go out with her, and then you basically go through the crowd all the way until the head cheerleader wants to date you.
Where were you when I was in high school?
It's called conquer and divide. That's all it is. That's all it's called. We can do that. No, but I understand. Where was I? Yeah. See, I mean, but I understand, like, dating is hard, I mean, for people, because if you haven't been, and there's a lot of amazing people. There's a lot of well-known people out there that were really not good at dating, didn't know how to do it. Some very respected people, some people that are nationally, internationally known, that could not figure out how to get a date. And eventually they overcame it and they were able to. But, you know, you look at a situation and you get the fear factor, and then that fear factor takes over and it tells you you can't do it. And I think we all have to some degree even now, not for you about dating anymore. I mean, none of that. But I think we all have a little bit of that fear factor. Like, for example, you know, you have to make a call to somebody. Like, for me, sometimes I'll have to make a call to somebody that's a pretty big person, okay? And I've talked to this person a dozen times, but there I am. I wonder how they're going to act, you know, when I call. It's like, who cares? You know, pick up the phone and call. I mean, I'm never going to know anything if I just don't call. And then all of a sudden, it becomes this avoidance. And like we were talking about before we went to the break, only you know you. You know, only you know the knowledge you possess. Only you know what's in your head. Like when we're in a communication, if we're communicating about something and someone pauses, don't think that they're pausing or don't think they're asking you, huh, or what, because you don't know what you're talking about. They probably didn't hear you. Or they're clarifying something, or they just don't know. But a lot of times we think, oh, I said something stupid, or I must have said the wrong thing. And what about how hard we are? I know all of us are pretty hard on ourselves, right? Are you harder on yourself than on other people?
I am. I'm such a perfectionist. You know this about me, Ashley. I'm such a perfectionist that, first of all, if I don't think I'm going to do it perfectly, I'm not going to try in the first place. But the things I do try, and if I don't get it right, exactly right the first time, I get so mad at myself.
And why is it? I mean, has this been since day one? I mean, can you remember being always a perfectionist?
Pretty much, yeah.
And I mean, it started from something. I bet it was something like in first or second grade where a teacher was like, this isn't right. You know, it's not perfect.
Here's what I think. You know, kind of going back to earlier, you know, like I said, I wasn't, you know, the popular kid. You know, I was chosen last.
Most people listening weren't the popular.
You know, I was chosen last for all the teams. You know, I had big Coke bottle glasses, you know, really big ears.
Oh, I still got mine.
Yeah, you still got yours. Yeah.
I still got my Coke bottle glasses.
I got the LASIK surgery, so I got rid of mine. But, you know, so my the way I dealt with it was I was really good academically.
And oh, that's good.
So I was the one who finished first in the spelling bee. I was the one who got, you know, the perfect hundreds. And then, of course, the other kids would make fun of me for it. So it was just kind of a vicious cycle. And so I think that drove my personality. And so to this day, it's like I have to kind of resist the urge to kind of prove I'm the smartest kid in class.
Oh, so you have to win.
Yes.
So you're one of those
very competitive.
So you're one of those people that, you would get 100. The kids would kind of be like, oh, here he is again, getting 100, screwing up the curve, no curve again. Yeah. But then eventually it became like your domain. Like, okay, well, if I can't win these people over, then I'm just going to be best at this all the time. And so I will be perfection. And that's probably what it was, is that you finally derived some power from that, away from it. And so now it's become something that worked for you for a little while, but now it gets in your way, because when we're perfectionists, guess what happens? We don't like to finish things. We keep working on something, and over again, it's not good, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. It's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours go by, and you don't have that much to show for it. I mean, and the normal person's not going to see the difference, unfortunately. Like,
right.
I remember doing a project when I was getting my second degree. And I remember doing this project, and it was awesome. And I shot this whole thing. It was so great. And the whole class, everybody was like, that's amazing. And I remember the teacher going, you didn't shoot with the right camera. Oh. I can tell you
and
shot.
And said it in front of the class.
Yeah,
right?
I can tell you shot with a different camera. I was like, no, that's not. And yeah, it was true. I did shoot with a different camera. But the point was, is that I picked the camera I want. But I mean, I had like expert lighting. I mean, I did a huge deal. However, I got a B on something I deserved 150 on. So the next week we have another project to do, and I literally was like, I'm not going to put any much time into it. I'm just going to do it. And I did a good job, but I didn't do my perfectionist deal. He's like, that's the best project I've ever seen. And I've realized in life that sometimes when you put your heart and soul into things, people don't seem to respond the same. And I think it's because we have these things in our head where we want them to respond like, oh, all the accolades, get on the knees and be, oh my gosh, oh yes, their king, their highness, this emperor, empress, you know. But a lot of times we don't get that, so we go, oh my gosh. So instead, your best is good enough. Your best is really good. And you have to kind of look at that. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about how you can stand on your own. You can make things happen for yourself. You can come from a power position. And if you listen to yourself, guess what? You're going to figure it all out. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we've been discussing how to be smarter, better, more powerful, how to listen to yourself more, and how to understand that a lot of times the limitations that you have in your life, guess what? They come from your own mind. You've created them at an early, early age. When you were a child, you created them to deal with some sort of suffering, some sort of pain, some sort of scared or sadness. And guess what? They work for you to protect you at one point, but now all they do is limit you. They limit you as an adult, and they continue to limit you until the day you die. But this is going to help you. This show is going to illuminate the limitations that you have in your mind. And so far, we've been talking about how only you know things, that no one else knows more than you. And really, honestly, you have to believe in yourself. Come from a power position. When you speak with people you don't know, or when you speak with people that seem to make you feel about 3 inches tall, you have to understand the fact that speak with authority. Realize that they don't know what's in your mind, and they don't know the information as well as you do. You know, secondly, we talked about how we're the hardest on ourselves, about how we can be the most hard and most difficult on ourselves, and how you really don't want to question yourself. Every time we question ourselves, every time we question our internal self, guess what? We make ourselves smaller. We make ourselves less powerful. It's sad. It's like when you question your inner self just stops talking to you, because guess what? You're not listening. And if you're in a conversation with other people, and guess what? There's some silence. Silence is really, truly golden. So let's go on to how we all stand in our own way. We do stand in our own way. So move out of your way. Life is difficult when you like fight yourself. When you're standing in your own way, it's hard to get around. You know, it's not about fighting, but when you're fighting internally and holding yourself back, guess what? Life becomes more of a fight. So, Keenan, when was the last time you stood in your own way?
Last time I stood in my own way had to be, you know, I think it was fairly recently.
Applying, this morning.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But no, you know, applying for like different jobs and stuff like that, you know, and like I would see a job and like, oh, well, I don't know if I should apply for that one because, you know, I may not be qualified. I may not be good enough. So I don't know. But see, I'll take this lesser one here. Because, see, maybe I'll get that one right there. And the thing is, I will apply for the less one, and then I will receive the email stating that my, you know, that I did not meet the minimum qualifications. And I'm like, well, what are the minimum qualifications?
Right.
You know? So one day, I just said, you know, whatever, screw it. Mm-hmm. I see this job here, and I'm going to apply for it. I'm just going to go for it. What are they going to do? What, they're going to tell me no? Ooh, wow. That happened to me before.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can say is no. No. It's not going to hurt you. They're not going to shoot you. They're not going to come after your family.
They're going to line you up against a wall. You know?
Right. But the thing is, though, I mean, like, it took my back being up against the wall for me to get to that point. You know, when I'm high on the hog, it's like, that's when I have all this doubt and I second guess myself. But when my back is up against the wall, it's like, look, I got to come out swinging.
So what did you do? Did you change your ways now? You've gotten out of your way.
Yeah, I apply for the job. It's like now I just go for stuff. I really do. I just go for it.
That's exactly what it is. Go for it. Like Nike had it. What is it? Just do it. And I know I always make fun of that, and it is kind of funny. But at the same time, right, go for it. Just do it. And I just realized, you know, a few years back and most recently even more so, is that we stand in our own way, and the best thing to do is to do it as fast as possible. Because a lot of times if we wait even a few minutes from the time that we want to do something, we'll find a reason not to do it. We'll be like, well, I don't know. I mean, in your mind's over there, like I talked about earlier, it's like, it's the bouncer at the club and you own the club, but your mind's the bouncer saying you can't get in or you can't do this or you're not good enough or you're not dressed properly enough and all these other people are going to go in and then we might let you in. Well, by that time, it's 2 o'clock, can't get in. So there you go. So what do you do? So I think the best thing, like you said, is go for it. Right when you see, if you're applying for a job, everybody that's listening tonight, if you're applying for a job, you see the job, you apply for it. You do it immediately, no question. And then you follow up with everything else that takes place because then you might get through that part, but then let's say that the employer, the HR calls you. You got to take the call. Take the call. Then you got to set up a meeting. Set up a meeting. Then you got to go. You got to go to the meeting. But a lot of times in between, that's when it also works out too, where, well, I might as well not even go. Because there's going to be all these other applicants. They're going to be better than me. And, you know, it's just going to be a waste of gas and time. And I'm going to get all the way over there. And it's 30 minutes away from my house. And it's in rush hour traffic. And I just, you know, this is just going to be a waste of my time. And all these things come. So you just have to do it. And I don't know what the best way to tell people to do it is. I mean, how did you do? Just override your thoughts and just go with it? Or just tabula rasa? No thought.
No, I just... Well, basically what it was like, you know what? I'm really hungry. And when I say hungry, I don't mean like mentally hungry as in, you know, I want to better myself. I mean, as in physically hungry. My stomach is growling. I really need to eat. So I really need to apply for this better paying job here.
So you're not kidding. Your back was to the wall.
Yeah, it was.
So your back was to the wall. So a lot of people listening tonight understand that Keenan's back was to the wall. But your back doesn't have to be to the wall that bad, but yet, you know, you have to kind of learn from his situation. How far are you going to go? You know, but at what point do you finally say, my needs have to overcome my mental state, my needs of needing to get a better job? If you're needing to take care of your children, if you need to take care of kids, if you need to take care of your spouse, if you need to take care of yourself, you know, whatever it might be, you have to do it. And you can't sit there and go, well, I guess I'll wait till tomorrow, or maybe it'll come around. And I know, Bill, I know you deal with this on a daily basis, and I do too, in ways that are so funny, but it just is the way it is. I mean, we all have these limitations. We all have these thought processes in our head. And then the funniest thing is that when we have like these, I guess like, cause we don't hear the record anymore, but then when something happens, it almost reminds you of when you were a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like when somebody like hits on something or says something to you that almost like clicks in. To something, and all of a sudden you're like in the fetal position and you don't even know why. You're like, I don't even know what happened. They're over there thinking, I don't even know where my head begins and my butt ends.
Just
I'm not really sure.
The Pavlov response.
You're
conditioned to do that from you're very young, and now you do it and you just don't even think about it.
So let's think about conditions. So anybody that's listening tonight, it could have been anything from they don't like me, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough. Doggone it, people don't like me. No, and I think a lot of times we deal with this, and everything did take place when we were a child. Everything that we think about to some degree happened when we were young and plays itself out. And this is very important for people that are listening that do have young children to realize that young children take things to heart, and they might be too young for you to think that they understand, but they do. I mean, I think it's funny when I'm talking to like people and they'll have like their kids in their arms and the kid's like 1 year old, and I'll be talking to the kid like the kid's, you know, a normal human, you know, not like goo goo gaga, oh, you're so cute. You know what? But you talk to them and all of a sudden the parents go, oh, she seems to really like you. And it's like, well, I'm just having a conversation. I mean, she might not be able to talk, but it doesn't mean that she doesn't understand. And to some degree, maybe she doesn't exactly understand what I'm saying, but eventually she'll get it, because everything goes into our subconscious. And so everything that's ever happened to you your entire life is stored into your subconscious. And that can be fortunate and that can be unfortunate, because bad things can happen to us and we can even block them out so much that we act from them from our subconscious. And I know some people are listening going, a subconscious, conscious, mumbo jumbo. What does that mean?
All this new age stuff.
Yeah, what does this mean? I mean, let's, you know, we're going to get a triangle out. We're all going to sit underneath some sort of like brass triangle and talk about life. I'm gonna have like the bowls, and I'm gonna, you know, no, but this makes you smarter if you think about it, because you are very intelligent. Everybody that's listening has to be intelligent to be listening to this show. And second, for, you know, you have to think about, okay, who's smarter than you? If you're not that smart, then who's smarter? What does smarter mean? Who's smarter then? I mean, it's kind of like who has more power? I mean, you should have power. Everybody should have about the same amount of power, but if you think you're powerless, then you're powerless.
Yeah.
You're powerless to everybody. Everybody has more power. And so it's all in your perspective. Unfortunately, it's all in your perception of the way that you see the world and the way you think other people see you.
You know, here's something that I've learned fairly recently in my life, actually, because, again, going back to what the way it was when I was a child, you know, the knowledge thing was my domain. That was the one thing I was good at when I was in school. And, you know, because I felt like an outcast. And that was the thing that kind of made me, you know, smarter than other kids. I was the smartest kid in class, or one of them anyway.
That's a big deal.
I kind of figured out that once you get out in the real world, it's not necessarily the amount of knowledge you have, but what you do with it. You know, so now my definition of smart is taking advantage of the information that you have so that you can accomplish your goals.
So you basically change your definition around to warrant the need base now.
Yes. And I'll be honest with you, it's something I still struggle with. You know, my natural instinct a lot of times is, you know, like I said, you know, if I don't think I'm just going to hit the home run, you know, bat 1,000, then I'm not going to go up to the plate in the first place.
And I think most people listening feel that way.
Yeah.
I think most people don't ever get up to the plate. Most people don't even have the bat. Most people don't even go to the game. You know, because they're too scared to go to the game. So, I mean, I think that's important. So let's talk more when we come back. I'm going to talk to you about recognizing. I'm going to talk about how to give you back in the power position, how you can be the smartest person in the room, and how basically it all comes down to just recognizing what's going on in your body. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
Show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, I hope you're not, because I hope you've been listening tonight, because this has been a really, really big show. But if you are just tuning in, we've been discussing how to put yourself in the power position, how to realize how smart you are, how to listen to yourself, and how not to judge yourself, how to actually realize that you do have the power. You know, early on, we were talking about the concept of, you know, realizing that you know what you know. No one else knows what's in your mind. So when you're in conversation with somebody, don't sit there and second guess yourself. Okay, if you know a lot about, like, let's say, planetary action or the solar system, and you know a lot about it, and you're in a conversation with people, you could pretty much place a bet that you're going to know more than anyone in the room. Now, unless you're hanging out with Keenan's friend, what is his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. You probably don't. If you're not hanging out with him, you know what you do. So quit second guessing yourself. When somebody asks you a question, or when they go, huh, or if there's a pause, don't sit there and wonder if you said something wrong or whatever. Just let it go. Okay. You're not having to worry about if you're using the right fork at dinner. Okay. Just realize people aren't, you know, looking at you like that unless you're around a bunch of sharks and people that just don't like you, and that's another story. If people are trying to bring you down and cut you down, you need to figure out who you're hanging out with, because you got bigger problems than wondering if you're talking about the right thing. You don't even know how to pick your right friends, and we can talk about that again some other time. The next thing is that we stand in our own way. A lot of times we all stand in our own way when it comes to fulfilling something in our life, and you know what the biggest thing is? Move out of the way. Okay, like, you know, when you're talking in traffic and somebody gets in your way, you're like, move! Well, guess what? You do that to yourself every day. Every day you like put a car in front of your way that's never gonna move all day long. It's like the beer truck that never moves. That you're stuck in the restaurant and you're like, where is the driver for the beer truck? And there's like 17 places they could be at because you're at this huge like mall area and you have no idea. And guess what? You're stuck. You're stuck. You're gonna be there for a while. Well, think about that for the rest of your life. The rest of your life, you have a beer truck behind you in front of your way because it's never gonna leave. And most of the time we don't even know the truck exists. So unfortunately, the truck's in your mind. And so that truck is saying, that mind is going, you can't do this. Oh, it's never going to happen. You're trying to write a book? Oh, man, you'll be lucky if 3 people read that book. You want 1 million people? Oh, you might as well not even do it. There's so many other people that can do this better than you. You're really out of your game. You're out of your league. You might as well just go home, put the bathrobe back on, and have a beer, because guess what? That's the best you're going to do. And a lot of people's minds think that way, okay? And some of us have realized that, and we realize that it's better to do some meditation. It's better to see our thoughts as well. So when you see it, go, okay, I see it. I'm going to lob that one out. Okay, I'm going to hit that one out of left field because guess what? That needs to leave my mind right now. I mean, that has no reason to be here because guess what? It holds you back. So lastly, but not least, you know, if you don't believe in you, right? If you don't believe in yourself, then guess what? You know, just truth telling right here. If you don't believe in you, no one else will.
Okay. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself.
Well, I mean, like, so if Bill, the first time I met Bill, if I walked into the studios and he goes, you know what? I just don't think I'm a very good producer. And, you know, I'm just lucky to be here today. And I don't really know if I know what I'm doing. I would have been like, hey, I would have been like calling, you know, management going, I need to get a new producer
Can we get somebody else to step
this
in?
This guy
here?
Doesn't know what he's doing. He even says he doesn't know what he's doing on his own. I mean, it's not even me. I mean, it's like, it could be anybody. You could be the genius. You could be the genius person. But if you're going around telling everybody you're an idiot, guess what? Everybody's going to think you're an idiot because it's just life. I mean, people don't go with what they know by observing, by consciously, you know, observing. They go by what they're told. They go by the way things look. I mean, I hate to say it, but this world's all about fast food assumptions.
Superficial.
Yeah.
Well, we do live in the age of Google, to where we think that we could like just find anything out through just a mere second. You know, it's like the age of the Google search in a way.
And if somebody tells you something, you go, oh, boom.
Yeah.
They told me that. They must be that way.
Yeah, it must be that way. You know,
and your attention span is kind of like that. So you're not going to take the time to delve deeper.
No, you're not. You're not going to.
It's not just the age of Google. It's the age of Wikipedia.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, but every now and again, I mean, instead of like, you know, just looking at it through the surface, I mean, like, you know, you got to, you know, peel the onion, you know. And the thing is, though, when you peel those onions, you know, the layers within yourself, and then you can find out, you know, I am good enough. You know, I can do this. I can accomplish whatever, and as long as you keep peeling those layers back. Because the thing is, those surface layers, like, and after a while, they rot. And so, yeah, you got to get rid of them.
And you consciously have to do it, because they'll creep in. And a lot of times we don't even know the layers exist. You know, we only know by the actions that we take. So, for example, you know, let's say, for example, there was some sort of contest for best producer, like the producer Olympics, okay? And I'm like, Bill, you should enter. You know, you're the best producer. And you're like, well, you know, I'm probably not going to enter because I'm not going to win anyway. Well, or I give you the application and you never do anything about it. A lot of times that's where we are as adults, because we're not thinking in our head we're not good enough. We just don't do something because subconsciously, that's how we feel. And so when you start catching yourself doing actions like that, or not following through, or not showing up to the meeting, or not doing what you should probably do, that's when you know there's a layer, like you said, there's a layer I need to pull back, and I need to figure out where it's at and where it's coming from, and I need to do some due diligence. You know, also, people take their cues from other people. So give them the correct cue. Give them the correct cue. If you want them to know that you're insanely a genius, you know, don't be a jerk about it, okay? And don't be narcissistic about it, because that won't show anybody anything. But if you want people to know how smart you are, guess what? Show them how smart you are. Don't tell them, because eventually they'll take their cue and they'll realize, man, that is the smartest person I've ever met. Or if you're a good person and you feel like people, you know, take you for granted, don't tell everybody how great you are and what good person you are. Do the actions that a good person does, and people take their cue and they see it and they go, man, that's a good person. But on top of that, guess what? The cool thing is that people will watch other people and learn. They take cues. Okay, so if we all have good self-esteem, anybody that's narcissistic, that's not good self-esteem. Okay, that's the opposite of what I'm talking about here, but it's still in the same genre. That just means that they're trying to cover up even more.
Self-esteem is different from ego.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there is a difference.
And pride is different from ego as well, because your ego is something that also is the gatekeeper in the mind. So the ego is part of that person that wants to keep you where you are. The ego, a lot of people say, oh, you got to have a strong ego. Well, you know what? Really, the best thing to do is to eliminate ego altogether. Ego never helped anybody. Ego never helped anything ever happen. Ego is what gets in the way. Ego is what takes down major billionaires on their next deal because they're egotistical and they're out of touch with the rest of society. Ego is when bad stuff happens. You have to sit there and be prideful in yourself and believe in yourself, but you got to let the rest of it go. You got to think from the heart. You got to believe in yourself, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. So I think, lastly, what do we want to tell everybody? Everybody that's listening tonight, I think the biggest thing is to believe in your own power, right? We all have our own power. Don't let other people take your power from you. Don't let other people tell you how to be. Stand up for yourself.
Power to the people.
We need to get some candles up in here. Seriously, because it's so important. You have to be powerful. And in order to be powerful, guess what? You got to recognize what's going on in your own mind. My dad used to always say, you got to recognize what's going on in your headset. I'd be like, okay, great, Dad. But no, it's true. You got to recognize what's being said in there. What's happening? I mean, if there's a lot of voices going on, you might need a little extra help. But, you know, we can help you. I can help you with that.
Lord knows there's a lot of voices in my head.
If it's packed, I mean, if there's a school bus of voices, we can talk about that too. But no, but you got to recognize, and you know what? You got to live in the here and now, and no one else can do anything better. And you got to realize that one thing that I tell everybody every time, mostly, or at least I might forget and think I say it every time, but everybody has that one thing that nobody else knows how to do. So everybody in this world has one thing that they do better than anybody else in the whole wide world. Figure that out. Figure out what that is. Because you know what? Nobody else can copy that thing. That thing that you have. No one else can copy it. Everybody can try to get close to it. Everybody can try to mimic it. But you have solidly something within you. And it could be several things that nobody can touch. Like, can't touch this. And so figure out what that is. Maximize on that. Look at that when you have self-esteem problems, and realize, okay, hey, I do have power. I can do something. I can bring something to the table. I'm a good person. Kenyon, it was awesome having you on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Man, you rock. Can't wait. This is great. Well, Billy, amazing.
Love you, Ashley. Thanks once again. It's a great show.
And by the way, we're going to have the best producer contest. I don't know how we're going to start it, but I'm going to start it.
I am going to enter the fastest editing. I can edit audio in 10 seconds flat.
We're going to do it. That'll be awesome. Yay. And guess what? He'll get 150 on it, too.
That's
by the
right.
Because you know what? He's the perfectionist, always in charge. But no, he's working on that, right? We're working on that. We're recognizing that. So next week, we got a great show for you. We got all these great shows for you, great concepts. If you have any questions, concerns, or you want to hear any past shows, you can go to AshleyBurgess.com. Otherwise, you can go on iTunes. Go to Apple iTunes. Go to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Guess what? Click on that. Subscribe. You can listen to the past 110 and change shows. We're on there. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back. We'll be back this time in three shakes.